Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
That's what we get together every week. And so we try to make the best of it. There is a lot to cover. There's a lot that's been going on. People are panicking, even though as yet I don't see the reasoning behind the panic. Apparently every store is now sold out of Purell. I saw two ladies going at it over the last bottle of Purell in my local supermarket, so that was fun to watch. But yeah, it's people don't think things through anymore. They don't realize that going nuts and panicking and you know, acting the fool doesn't help manners or matters in any way or form. So this is where we are. This is what's been happening. This thing has reached the U.S. shores. Apparently, it's a lot less visible thus far than in Europe, most notably Italy. Italy's been getting trounced with the coronavirus. But panicking won't help. It won't help you. It won't help me. It won't help anyone. By all accounts, preventative measures such as washing your hands, yes, antibacterial soap works just as well as Purell. So if you can't find some in your store, fret not. If you know, somebody really wants the last bottle in the supermarket, then let them have it, because there's still soap. And if you wash your hands with regularity, avoid venues where there are a lot of people coughing, you know, out in the open, I guess, without covering their mouths. Avoid those places. If you have kids, you know, spend more time at home, read a book, tell them a story. Go out for a walk somewhere nature-filled. Spring is coming. The warm weather is almost upon us. It's a balmy 35 degrees in Wisconsin, which is unheard of. So everyone's out in shorts and tank tops. We're taking in the sun because it's so warm. Now, I must tell you, as is my custom, that this is not a live broadcasting. It is, however, recorded within the vicinity of the air date, so much so that we already know who won Super Tuesday, or who the two people that the Super Tuesday totals or delegate counts got divided between. For me, the most entertaining, let's call it entertaining, is there were two things that were very entertaining. They're equally number one in my book. One, the fact that Mike Bloomberg, after spending an ungodly amount of money, managed to win Samoa. I think he had people go to door to door in Samoa and offer them $1,000 per head if they would go vote for him. It wouldn't have hurt his pocketbook any. But yes, he won Samoa. So he was in the race. He almost saw the victory within reach, and then realized this is not as easy as the guy currently occupying the White House made it look. And this is why I think a lot of these billionaires got into the race to begin with. You had what? Tom Steyer. You had Mike Bloomberg. You had people with deep pockets that looked at a guy like Trump, who I guarantee you they look their noses down on, because he's a real estate guy. He's a blue-collar billionaire, as is, you know, the rumor about town. So he wasn't, you know, foo-foo enough for them. And so they looked at what he was able to accomplish in 2016, and they said to themselves, I'm smarter and more genteel than this man. As far as Mike Bloomberg goes, he's got more money than Donald Trump does by lots. So he thought to himself, I shall prove everyone that it doesn't take charisma. It doesn't take wit. It doesn't take comedic timing. All it takes is lots of money and me standing up there looking angry or bitter or constipated or something. So I think if anything, even to those that dislike this current president with a passion, you have to acknowledge the fact that he made it look easy in 2016. And these people are now realizing it's not as easy as all that. I mean, I know it, they call him everything from illiterate to dumb to, you know, he wears a helmet when he goes to bed just in case he falls out. Whatever. The guy beat the entire Republican field. Professional politicians. Men who, in one case, was the debate club champion at Harvard. Then he went on to go toe-to-toe with another professional politician who is as wily as they come, slithering about as she was. And he bested the entire field of Republicans. He bested the woman that at some point they were saying had a 99% chance of being the next president of these United States. And nobody seems to give the guy any credit. You know, feel how you will about him. Mike Bloomberg, with all his money, couldn't get past Samoa. Tom Steyer couldn't even do that. So it's, you know, I'm not fanboying over Donald Trump. But I look at the situation from a, let's just call it, reasonable perspective, subjective or objective perspective. Look, I have my leanings. All of you know, I make no qualms about it. I know who I'm voting for come next election cycle. But even if the names were removed, and someone told you a tale, someone told you a story of one rich individual who decided he wanted to be president of his country. And he came out, caused the ruckus, beat everybody in his party, beat the other party senseless, and he won. He won. He became president. Then all of a sudden, a bunch of other people who also had comfortable lives and were well-heeled monetarily, thought to themselves, well, if that goofus can do it, I'm pretty sure we can too. He made it look so easy, and, you know, I mean, he just built stuff. He's not that smart. Imagine us. Imagine how easy it would be for us to trounce all the opposition. And so Tom Steyer and Mike Bloomberg got into the race very excitedly. As someone pointed out, and rightly so, Mike Bloomberg has enough money to buy anything except a personality. And Tom Steyer, well, it's just Tom Steyer. Oddly enough, unsurprisingly, it seems both Tom Steyer and now Mike Bloomberg have dropped out of the presidential race. Mike Bloomberg was the most recent dropout, even after he won Samoa. I mean, if I were him and I would have won Samoa, that would have put a little gas in my tank. That would have made me excited for tomorrow. But no, Mike Bloomberg decided to pull the plug. What was it he said? He said, I'm a believer in using data to inform decisions. After yesterday's results, the delegate math has become virtually impossible. No kidding. You don't say. You won Samoa. You don't need data to tell you you're unpopular, son. You don't need data to inform your decision. You felt like burning $500 million? There you go. Hope you like the dumpster fire. So now what we have in the lead is a communist and a wannabe communist. Those are the two front runners on the Democratic ticket. And the closer we get, there's a reason I'm talking about this. Because the other side has a plan. And I'm seeing it come to fruition. They're very smart about the plan they're hatching. They're trying to separate conservatives, or at least Christian conservatives, from this president, from this administration. And they're throwing everything they can at the church, trying to get them to stay home in November of 2020. And I know some people who are like, oh, I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to do a thing because, well, you know, he said mean things on Twitter. Look, let me put it this way, because I've had back and forth with some people. They're still my friends. I still respect them. You have a right to your opinion. However, I think that some things are done in haste. I think some decisions are made in haste, and I think some people will look back on the decisions they've made and the proclamations they've made and regret them. Because if you removed the name Donald Trump, if you just looked at the accomplishments of this president without knowing that it was him, that they were his accomplishments, that they were his administration's accomplishments, you would conclude that this was the most Christian conservative president to ever sit in the office. He is rivaling Ronald Reagan, in some cases exceeding Ronald Reagan. Again, I'm not here to woo-woo, you know, fanboy out, but the man is getting beat about the head and shoulders by everyone on the left and on the right. There are people who would rather, and I'm talking about like conservatives and Republicans, not people who call themselves Christian conservatives, that would rather see someone like Bernie Sanders holding the reins of power in this country for the next 4 years then give Donald Trump another term. And when I asked them, can you please explain the reasoning? Other than the fact that they hate him for no explainable reason, they have no reasoning for it. They cannot put together a cogent, coherent argument to say, this is why I will be voting for the communist, who will tax me at 90%, who will take away every single freedom that is afforded me by a constitutional republic that this country is. I will vote to become Venezuela, only more violent, more bloody, and more chaotic. That is what I will vote for instead of this administration. Why? Because he sends mean tweets. Look, if I go to a doctor and I have an issue, I could care less about his bedside manner. The reason I go to a doctor is for that doctor to remedy the situation I find myself in, whether through surgery or medication or what have you. I know, some of you don't believe in doctors and medicine. I'm just using it as an example. Please don't email. Because I've been getting the kookiest emails recently. I don't know who it's from, but there's a handful of you, man, that honestly, this is it. We've reached the bottom of the bucket. Flat Earth. Flat Earth and vaccination. This is the hill you're going to die on. Come on. Come on. There are so many things that you should be prioritizing before flat earth and vaccination. I don't have time to list it all. Look, if you believe the earth is flat, walk to the edge, take a picture, tweet it to me, send it to me because I don't have Twitter, email it to me, print it out at Walgreens, make it a 8x10 because a 6x4 might be too small for me to see the edge itself. So, simple. Go, walk to the edge, snap a pic, print it out, send it to me. And I'll get on board that train. Easy peasy. But until that time, please, 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 don't waste your breath with flat earths and you're killing your kids by vaccinating them. Look, I agree there may be an overabundance of vaccines, but you don't want to see a kid with polio, especially your own. Everyone has a choice. And I'm... what annoys me, if not outright angers me, is that people who aren't married, who have no children, who have no plans of having children, are browbeating you into submission over vaccinating your children. If you don't have children, if you are unmarried, if you are a professional bachelor for the rest of your life living in a van down by the river, then allow me to save you the time it would take you to go down to the public library and shoot me an email about vaccines. Don't. I will not take your advice. I will not accept your advice. Thanks for trying. Thanks for playing. Good night. When people with no kids tell me that it should be a no-brainer that I don't vaccinate my kids, really? Never once do these people ask, how will you live with yourself? If perchance you bite the baited hook and you talk your significant other into not vaccinating the children, au naturel, kids, au naturel. Strap on a fig leaf and go to school. What and how would you cope with the reality of seeing your child suffer from something that could have been prevented by a vaccine because the guy living in the van down by the river talked you into not doing it? Look, I love my wife and my wife loves me, but if that ever happened, if because of a choice I pressured her into, one of my kids suffers, I don't know how well that marriage is going to go forward. So again, please, if you are unmarried and if you have no children, stop trying to talk people with children into not vaccinating their kids. Let them make up their own minds. I know, that was an aside, completely out of nowhere, but it's one of those things that builds up. It's sort of like my gout, you know, the uric acid builds up until finally I have a flare-up. Well, the emails build up and I see one crazy after another, insisting that if I don't get onto their particular crazy cart on the crazy train, well, then I'm Ichabod and forsaken, and God no longer holds a place in his heart for me because I don't believe that I can walk off the edge of the earth. So, yeah, it gets overwhelming. It builds up, and sometimes I have to take a few minutes and just, you know, say a few things. So yes, back to politics. Why talk politics? Jesus is coming, yes. But what if he doesn't come within the next 5 years? And because, well, you went blah, 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 and stomped your ears and chose not to see what was happening. Oh, I don't know. Bernard Sanders become president of the United States. Because, in case you haven't noticed, Bernie Sanders is surrounding himself with a plethora of God haters. Just as an aside, again, choices have consequences, as do elections. If you look at the people that Bernie Sanders is surrounding himself with, you can get a pretty clear picture of what will become of Christians and Christianity during his term. But that's okay, is it? Why should we welcome persecution? Why should we ache for it, as it were? Why should we desire to see something that we could put off for a season, that we could prevent by making wise choices? Just a question. So this is who's still in the race. Listen to this. The people still in the race for president of these United States are one Joe, what's my name, Biden, Bernie, red commie Sanders, Elizabeth, faux Indian Warren, and of course, I guess Tulsi Gabbard's still in it, but let's, you know, some people don't know when to give up the ghost. Apparently, Mike Bloomberg did, even though he won Samoa. He decided that due to the data that he perused overnight, it was undeniable to conclude that he is an unlikable fellow who looks his nose down at absolutely every single person on the planet. He's condescending and smug and has no comedic timing. Even when he tried to make a joke, it landed like a flat balloon. And after all of that, he decided it was time. Yes, it was time to not only remove himself from the running of the nomination for the Democrat presidential candidate, but throw his support behind, you guessed it, what's my name? Hello, Joe. Hello, Joe. Now, my only concern here is that in a head-to-head debate between Joe, what's my name, Biden, and Donald Trump, Donald Trump would so eviscerate him that I would start feeling sympathy for Joe Biden. I mean, the men are pretty much the same age. One of them handles himself far differently than the other. One of them is able to connect with people far better than the other. And to be perfectly frank, one of them has his mental faculties as opposed to the other. Because when you start confusing your wife for your sister, not know what state you're in, start calling people, what was it, dog-faced pony soldiers, and talking about, who was it? That was a good story about when he was young. Popcorn! Was it Popcorn or Lunch Bucket? One of the two. How Popcorn was about to cut him with a rusty razor blade. But he got the one up on Popcorn because he had a chain wrapped around his hand. Yes, these are all things and stories that the potential future president of these United States has told with a straight face. Love him or hate him, man, Donald Trump's got comedic chops. Somebody forwarded me this like 30-second clip of a rally Donald Trump did recently. And he was talking about all the other candidates. And you know this wasn't scripted. This is the genius of it. He's standing there talking about Mike Bloomberg, and then he just like shrinks down behind the podium by a few inches. It was hilarious. The timing was impeccable, and I'm sorry, but Joe Biden doesn't have it. So after they bruise and bloody themselves senseless, they still have to get into the ring with Donald Trump, who is a decent debater, but it's not just, look, he's fast on his feet, he's quick on his feet. His synaptic response is as good as anyone I've ever seen. And he knows when to punch. He knows when the opening is there. He sees it in the timing. I mean, I remember, what was it? And again, just disclaimer, I've said it before, I'll say it again. He wasn't my first choice in 2016. But I was watching the debate with him and Hillary, and she was talking about, you know, can you believe a man like this wants to be president or something along those lines? And just quick as a rabbit out the gate, he's all, well, yeah, because you'd be in prison if I was. And that, boom, right there, you could see it shift just from one perfectly worded, perfectly placed comeback. And I'm sorry to tell you, if you happen to be, you know, a supporter of Joe Biden, Joe Biden doesn't have it. But it's not settled yet, because we're talking as though, you know, Joe Biden has the nomination. Far from it. Bernie Sanders did pretty well last night as well. He won Colorado, you know, Utah. What is happening to Utah? He won Utah, Colorado, California. And Joe Biden won the big one. He won Texas. And apparently he also won North Carolina, Arkansas, and a couple others. But the big prize was Texas. Because if Texas would have gone for Bernie, we'd be having a whole different conversation today. Now, the entire Democrat apparatus, the entire machine, is dead set against Bernie Sanders because they realize that he would hurt the down-ticket Democrats in pretty much every area except for, you know, California, New Hampshire, and a couple of places where, you know, people don't use soap. So this is why the entire machine is behind Joe Biden, even though I don't think they give him a shot of actually being competitive against Donald Trump. And like I said, you may hate the name, you may hate the man, but if you look at the accomplishments without knowing who it is, the conclusion that you're going to come to is, oh my, that man is conservative in his decision making. Well, almost Christian. So, again, this is where we are. These are the choices that we're going to have to make. By the end of it, in 2020, it is going to be a binary decision. 4 years ago, we were talking about this term binary, meaning only one of two. If Jesus isn't on the ticket, he's not running, and he doesn't want to be president of the United States, then talking about how we'd love for Jesus to be president is a non-starter, isn't it? So by the end of this ruckus, hopefully, again, hopefully for them, but it would be fun to watch. If this thing goes to the convention and there's not one decided clear winner, it's going to be just a circus all over again. Because the Bernie bros are going to try to push Bernie to the forefront. Because his supporters, you know, again, you got to give it to Bernie. His supporters are organic. Every supporter that Joe Biden has that's under 70 is manufactured. It's somebody that the DNC is paying good money to go up there and say how much they love Joe Biden. Bernie has true believers on his side, man. They really want this stuff. So, now, again, if this goes to the convention, it's going to get ugly. And on the one hand, like I said, it would be interesting to watch. But on the other hand, it's Milwaukee. It's only like 30 minutes from where I live. So I'd like to be able to drive through there at some point. Now, last night, Joe Biden was interrupted by people who wanted to save the cows. You heard it correctly. These are the people deciding who the nominee for the Democrat ticket is going to be. They got up there and they started screaming about cows and how drinking milk is wrong and evil. So, yes, they interrupted Joe Biden's victory lap last night with protests on behalf of cows, because cows have no voice of their own, and how dare you take their milk. You know what? Maybe we need a good contagion. Because people have gotten so comfortable with being comfortable for so long that they don't understand what it is to scrounge. They don't understand what it is to need. They don't understand what it is to hunger. They don't understand what it is to do without. Between Amazon, Grubhub, and what else is there? I don't know, whatever place delivers. These people have never gone a day eating, never mind, you know, missing a meal. And they're so comfortable in their existence that this is how they choose to spend their time. This is how they choose to engage politically. By storming the stage and protesting on behalf of cows who have no voice of their own. So this is how you know life is pretty darn good in a place like America. When people have the wherewithal and the energy to protest on behalf of cows. Because you know what? I know it's not news to some of you, but it may be to a handful. They're not doing so hot in Europe. This past week, and it's gone under the radar because 9 people died in the U.S. from corona. Actually, it wasn't literally from coronavirus. It was because they had pre-existing conditions and they were aged, meaning old. And the coronavirus was, as it were, the, you know, final nail. But you have to juxtapose the fact that 9 people total have died nationwide. Now, I don't know what the statistics are because I haven't had time to look it up, but I would wager a burger and a fry, if I were a betting man, that more people were murdered in the south side of Chicago this past weekend than have perished nationally from the coronavirus. Let that sink in. I guarantee you, over a 48-hour period this past weekend, it was more than 9 people dead in the south side of Chicago. So, who's fueling the panic? Who's trying to drum it up? You know who it is. We all see the talking heads on television, breathless, another one dead. It's like 16 kids died over the last 7 hours in Chicago. Nobody bats an eye. So yes, 9 dead from coronavirus, nationally. That's the total tally, not overnight, not yesterday, not over the past week, nationally, total tally. 9. South side of Chicago, north of 20 guaranteed just this past weekend. But, as I said, there is a story that has bled out, that has made its way to these shores, but that hasn't gotten the full measure of what it deserves. And that is what is happening between the Turks and the rest of Europe. Turkey declared this past week that it was going to open its borders to Europe for migrants. Up till now, Turkey was sort of the hedge. It was the bulwark. It was keeping a million some odd people from making their way into Europe. Turkey was responsible for feeding these people. Turkey was responsible for sheltering these people. And finally, Erdogan said, no mas. I'm sure he didn't say no mas because it's not Spanish that he speaks, but I don't know how to say no more in Turkish, so let's go with no mas. And so the Turks decided to allow free travel to migrants to traverse through Turkey and reach Europe. And that has pretty much all of the European Union up in a tizzy because they realized what just happened. And again, if they would have been preemptive about it, if they would have thrown a few shekels to the Turks once in a while and said, hey, thanks for keeping all these millions of people from coming into Europe, it might not have gotten to this. But the Europeans did to Turkey exactly what they did to the U.S. until Donald Trump went and said, hey, pay your fair share. If you want defense, pay the money you promised. And because they realized that they were in a pickle, they paid. See, apparently they either didn't take Erdogan seriously or he didn't ask the right way. But Europe never threw him a dime. And so here were the Turks taking on the brunt of just millions and millions of people. And finally they said, all right, you know, you want to go to Europe? Bonsoir. Willkommen. Bonveni. Here you go. And now the Austrian Chancellor, Sebastian Kurz, has stated that the Turkish move to open its borders to Europe for migrants was an attack on both Greece and the European Union. And his government will not take in new waves of migrants. Well, Monsieur Sebastian Kurz, I don't think you have a choice. Because unless you start shooting people at the border, you're going to have no choice. See, this is why, again, I know. Ooh, so evil having borders. Well, what are you going to do? Because these are the same people, these are the same leches that were trying to pontificate and tell us how beautiful inclusivity is. Where do you think Nancy Pelosi got her nonsense about diversity being our strength? It was from Europe. It was from the Germans and the Austrians and the French and the Italians until they realized, oh, they're not stopping. They're still coming. We're diverse enough. Any more diversity and there won't be any French people in France anymore. Any more diversity and there won't be any more Austrians in Austria anymore. Diversity is our strength. So now they finally realized what is happening to them. The same blowhards that were going on, you don't need a wall, you need to welcome peoples. That was the French guy, by the way. I do a very bad French accent, but you get the meaning of what I'm trying to say. Pourquoi? Pourquoi you need a wall? Just say welcome. Well, same advice to you, Pierre. Why would you want to stop people seeking refuge from coming to your country? Why would you declare that you will not take in any new waves of migrants when diversity, oh, diversity, is your strength, Mr. Kurz? You see how it goes when the shoe's on the other foot? Because even for semi-communists and globalists, national sanctity is still important, isn't it? Because they don't 10,000, 50,000, a million, 5 million. And this is how you take over a country. You allow them to migrate without any controls. They quickly become citizens, but they become citizens with a hyphen. And the citizen with the hyphen will vote in his own best interest rather than the best interest of the nation. This is how a nation turns. This is how a devout communist, a man who honeymooned in the USSR before it was Russia while there were still bread lines and loved it, is within arm's reach of the nomination of the Democrat Party presidential candidate. That's how you get there. And I know, diversity is our strength. Mr. Kurz, the Turks are about to heap so much diversity on you, you're going to be the strongest nation in the world. Because the Turks have had it. They don't want to foot the bill anymore. They don't want to have to deal with wave upon wave of human misery trying to break through the line. And so they said, okie dokie, there you go. Here is Europe. Hello, Europe. We are bringing you some more diversity. So yes, the Austrian Chancellor, Sebastian Kurz, has stated that the Turkish move to open its borders to Europe for migrants was an attack on both Greece and the European Union. Now, again, I have no sympathy or empathy for the Greeks. The Greeks have done this to themselves, by themselves, with their own two greedy hands. Anything, Greece is one less example Bernie Sanders can point to and say, look, socialism's working. The Greeks are bust. They're broke. They owe money to everyone in town and nobody's lending them anymore. So no more four-hour siestas during the midday, kiddies. No more three-day work weeks with 6 months of vacation because the Greeks know how to live. Have you heard those? Oh, we work too hard here in America. Look at the Greeks. The Greeks know how to live. They work 6 days a month, 4 hours a day. The rest of the time they spend sitting out in the sun and eating fish. Well, that's because they were living off of borrowed money. And now nobody is borrowing the money to the Greece anymore, and so you must go get a job. I saw this meme. I think it was on Facebook. It was a television personality asking a question. So it was to Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie the Commie. And it was, given that the economy is booming and, pay is going up and people have jobs, how will you combat these things if you are to be the nominee for the presidency? And the answer was, that's okay. None of our voters want jobs anyway. And that was pretty much what much of Greece became. They became fastened, as it were, to the teat of government. And so they could afford to work 6 days a month and take 6 months of vacation or whatever ungodly thing there was. Because the government kept asking for money from the European Union. The European Union was flush because, hey, the English were putting money in. And, man, the English work 6 days a week, and if it's raining, seven. And it always rains in England. So now that England's out and the coffers have run dry, nobody is giving the monies to the Greece anymore. And so now the Greece must put down the accordion. And they must put down the feta cheese and actually work. So, no sympathy there. On top of them needing to work, they now have a glut of migrants that are about to assail them, that are willing to work for far less wages than Greeks are. And I guarantee you that among them, mixed in, if you will, peppered in, there are some very unsavory individuals who are not coming to Greece with any desire to work, but to rob little old ladies who did work and have a little money. So that's what's happening in Europe. This thing is about to blow up, and it's going to get very ugly in Europe because – and look – I think only when things get ugly in Europe will we see how civil we were as a nation to people trying to cross the border illegally. Because you still have these just pundits, these buffoons. Oh, we are the most horrible nation in the world. Look, we take people, we make them shower, we feed them, we rehouse them, and then we send them back. What's that all about? I guarantee you, it's only a matter of time before either the Greeks or the Austrians or the Italians start popping off a few rounds because they can't absorb any more people. And if Turkey stopped being the hedge, if Turkey stopping all these people that wanted to come through. Only options force. And only then will these people that just run off at the mouth and says, children in cages, oh my. Only then will you see how kind this nation has been, comparatively speaking. But I want to get into this because it's interesting because you have to understand the global situation, not only to appreciate the freedom that you have, not only to appreciate the nation that you live in, but to prepare your heart for it not always being thus. Things change, they always do. Things are about to change throughout the world, whether it's going to be due to the coronavirus, whether it's going to be the influx of migrants from Europe that are just going to, it's going to get brutal. Things can't stay the same. They're always in flux. And we know that the last days are upon us. The Bible tells us it is. These are the times. We're not going to wait 10 more generations to see the end, I don't believe. So if we understand the time we're living in, then we have to prepare for an escalation of events throughout the world. Chancellor Kurz held a press conference alongside Vice Chancellor and Green Leader Werner Kugler and Interior Minister Karl Niehammer. Those sound like mighty Aryan names to me. Why will you not embrace diversity, Mr. Kugler and Niehammer, and of course, Mr. Kurz? And said that the recent rush of an estimated 13,000 migrants at the Greek border was, and this is in quotes, so you know it is true, only the beginning. He added that the surge in migrants from Turkey was the first real test for the European Union on border security since the migrant crisis of 2015, calling it an organized rush, but noted that the activity had been solely on the Greek border and not the Bulgarian border with Turkey. Do you want to know why? Because the Bulgarians don't have the social safety nets that the Greeks do. You cannot go to Bulgaria and go on welfare like you can in Greece. Huh? It's a good idea, no? Plus, the Bulgarian economy, a lot smaller than the Greek economy, if only on paper. He added that the surge in migrants from Turkey was the first real test for the European Union on border security. We read that the migrants gathered at the Greek border, according to Kurz, are also mostly comprised of migrants who have lived in Turkey for years, because Turkey's been kind enough to keep them from crossing. And you haven't thrown a dime in to say, hey, thanks, buddy. Thanks for keeping the diversity on your side of the border. Rather than asylum seekers fleeing from the Idlib region, where Turkey has been conducting military operations against the forces of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. So that's another thing that we have to keep in mind and sort of another piece that needs to be put on the chessboard. Erdogan and Turkey are moving against Bashar al-Assad, who is a protectee of Russia. Let that sink in for a second. I know, it's getting exciting, isn't it? And you're wasting your time going to buy Purell. While Green leader Kogler suggested that Austria could take in some women and children from the border, Interior Minister Niehammer stated that no new asylum seekers would be welcomed in Austria. But why, Mr. Niehammer? Is not diversity your strength? We will not accept them. There is no point in coming, Niehammer said after noting that Austria has taken a large share of migrants during the height of the 2015 crisis. We've only just begun, Mr. Niehammer. Because if Turkey opened the spigot, you're going to get wet. It doesn't matter how hard you try not to. It doesn't matter how knee-high your knee-high boots are. You're going to get wet. All three politicians agreed that there would not be a repeat of 2015 and that the European Union needed to respond to Turkish President Erdogan's actions, which they labeled as blackmail. Was it though? Was it really blackmail? I mean, I understand you could look at it that way and say, we are being blackmailed. But maybe the guy just got tired of feeding hundreds of thousands of people, housing them, when all they really wanted was to become part of the diversity of Europe. Welcome to Europe, immigrants and migrants. Welcome to the bosom of Austria and Greece. Diversity is our strength. So again, I do not feel sad or sorry for the Austrians or the Greeks in the slightest, because they are the self-same people who poo-pooed a guy like Donald Trump who said, we got to seal up our border. We welcome legal immigrants, but we need to know who is coming into the country, no? So the Austrians are about to have a mess on their hands, as are the Greeks, and it's going to cascade. It has to cascade throughout Europe. So either they put armed soldiers on the border with Turkey, and they show the world how unsympathetic they are to migrants and how unwilling to embrace diversity they are. Or they let a good million people just flood their countries. So that is the question for us to ponder. Because if one Bernard Sanders or even Joe Biden, by some fluke, becomes president of these United States, both have promised to throw open the borders and give you as much diversity as you can take, baby. So the question that we must ponder, the question that I want you to contend with this coming week is, when is diversity enough diversity? When does diversity become too much diversity? Because looking at this nation as it is, we're pretty diverse, I would hazard to guess. Throw in, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 million more people, the pendulum will be swinging. And once the other side has the majority, well, then you'll see how embracing of diversity they are. It's, oh, if only you understood the depths of depravity of politicians on both sides. Because you have people, even in the Republican Party, fighting tooth and nail against securing the southern border. Why? Cheap labor! And there are many, many billionaires, like the former contender for the presidency, Mike Bloomberg, who give lots of money to greedy, dirty politicians to keep the spigot flowing, because cheap labor means more profits. Never mind that the average worker, the American citizen, could have profited greatly from a pay increase had the borders been sealed and had these billionaires been forced to raise the salaries of their own employees because there was a labor shortage. Stuff we could get into, but we won't, because we've run out of time. Look how quickly an hour passes. I should do this for a living. Anyway, thank you all for joining. Next week, I guarantee you it'll be something new, probably just as interesting. But until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. And Gino, if you've got anything to say, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Friday night, we're having our SPAN 2020 event in Watertown, Wisconsin. Please keep that in prayer. Michael will be speaking there, along with Rebecca Clayfish and Judge Kelly. And we ask that God would move on people's hearts, be proactive this year. Today, they are talking about the law in Louisiana that could hopefully be a turning point in Roe versus Wade. Pray about the Supreme Court really defending preborn life and standing up for the sanctity of life. Also, you can go to our website, handofhelp.com. I would urge you to go to the books section and check out the Battle Ready Believer book. It's a very good book based on the child of God being equipped for battle and having the weapons of our warfare. And as Ephesians talks about, also we have the Through the Fire book. And I must say, in the last few months, many people have been ordering the book because, as Mike said, trouble is ahead. And we can see that things are, the tide in the world is becoming much more challenging. And God is allowing these things. Purpose, he has a plan. And for sure, he wants to wake up people's hearts. Also, keep the tornado victims in Tennessee in prayer. It's quite a disaster the more that I read about that disaster. It's just tragic. 50-mile tornado track on the ground through four counties. 25 people dead, possibly upwards of, It could climb to well over 30 or 40 people, hopefully not. And also, we have a couple new albums, Stand for the Flag and Stand for Life. And if you're interested in those recordings, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. Just put out the Stand for Life album, took a year and 3 months. All the songs of songs that uphold the safety and value of preborn life. And we thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.